This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The fight against AIDS has become a very politicized fight. Many say that the government was slow in responding to the epidemic because the disease has largely struck people outside the white, heterosexual middle class. The group ACT UP was founded in 1987 to focus attention on the need for better medical care and increased funding for research. ACT UP also works on behalf of the rights of people with AIDS, rights to health care, housing, and employment. ACT UP is an acronym for AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power. The group is controversial because of their confrontational tactics and acts of civil disobedience. Trading at the New York Stock Exchange was temporarily disrupted when several ACT UP members handcuffed themselves to a railing to protest the high cost of AZT. The group disrupted High Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York as a statement against the church's condemnation of homosexuality and the use of condoms. My guests are two members of the New York chapter of ACT UP. Alden McCain has participated in several of ACT UP's confrontational actions. He's a member of the Caucus for People with Immune System Disorders. Tracy Morgan is one of the authors of ACT UP's forthcoming handbook on women and AIDS. McCain says ACT UP may be controversial, but their tactics work.
There are some very clear and direct results, for example, in the case of lowering the price of AZT. That's a case where we had an action on Wall Street demanding that the price of AZT be lowered, and the next week the price of AZT, in fact, was lowered. Just this past week, a couple of things have happened. We've been trying to get access to a drug called DDC, and the company that makes DDC, Hoffman LaRoche, was putting a lot of impediments in the way of what they call an expanded access. There were things that people had to go through. They had to have failed on both AZT and another drug called DDI. And all we had to do with Hoffman LaRoche was threaten them with an action. We threatened to go and picket their board of directors meeting this past Monday night. And the mere threat of that action backed up with our history, the fact that they know that we were at the FDA and the CDC and San Francisco. That threat was sufficient to get them to call us up on the phone and say, you're right, we're going to change our policy, we're going to allow access to DDC even without the restrictions that we had before.
Tracy, one of the things that you've worked on is the Women's Handbook Committee mm-hmm. of ACT UP. And I'd like to talk about some of the issues that apply to women with AIDS. I think the point has been made lately that women have been undercounted and that women manifest the HIV virus in different ways with different symptoms than mm-hmm. men do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Women do manifest HIV differently, and it's a very political thing that women's gynecological manifestations of HIV are not being taken into account by the Centers for Disease Control. We see a lot of women, I also happen to do service provision, healthcare, and we see a lot of women who come in who are HIV positive with pelvic inflammatory disease. We see women coming in with chronic vaginitis, with cervical cancer, accelerated numbers of abnormal pap smears, for instance. Okay, we see these women come in and they're HIV positive, but they can't get an AIDS diagnosis if they just have one of these problems. These problems are not considered to be HIV related. Were they to be considered to be HIV related, that means that the government that is supplying people who have an AIDS diagnosis with a certain amount of funds, let's say from supplemental security income to access to different AIDS drugs and so on, this means that these women without an AIDS diagnosis are not getting the assistance to give them at least a substandard quality of life that they need to survive with this disease. Gynecological care in the AIDS crisis is considered to be, like a fringe benefit. I mean, you can't get gynecological care even at most AIDS clinics in New York City, for instance. So that means that women who are positive and are showing GYN symptoms are not receiving treatment.
When you talk about the definition of AIDS, is there a list of certain symptoms that someone has to have before being officially diagnosed with AIDS?
Right. The Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta basically produced the original definition of AIDS, which has been refined once only slightly and is now totally out of date. There are a number of conditions, as Tracy mentioned, that affect women that are not included in the CDC definition but are sometimes, in fact, fatal. There are other conditions that affect IV drug users, intravenous drug users, that are not included in the CDC definition and are, in fact, fatal. And there are also conditions that now affect all people who have HIV infection who are now living longer because there are some treatments for some of the conditions that in the early phase of the disease killed people. And as people are living longer and developing these other conditions that can be fatal, those conditions are also not included in the CDC definition. I myself have had an HIV-related pneumonia, which is not part of the CDC definition. I also am, for the last almost 8 years now, have had a T-cell count below 200. And I won't get into all the details about what a T-cell count is, but basically the medical community in general believes that someone whose T-cells are below 200 has a very seriously compromised immune system and needs care. Now, I fortunately have private health insurance, but if I were relying on public assistance and Medicare to take care of me, it would be very difficult for me to get the treatment that I would need, and in some states it would be impossible for me to get that treatment. And the reason is this definition of AIDS that is so restrictive.
Do you plan on participating in any actions? Does ACT UP have any plans to do anything to change, to broaden the definition of AIDS?
We are going to go to the Health and Human Services, and we're going to go to the Centers for Disease Control, and we're going to stage a massive protest, which will be a follow-up to a protest that took place last December, where we got a lot of promises. We were told that they were working on revising the definition of AIDS. Well, here it is 10 months later, and nothing has changed. There has been no change, and we've told them that we're going to be back unless they change the definition. And we'll keep coming back until they do change it, and eventually they will.
Let me get to one of the criticisms I've heard some people make of ACT UP, and that is, for instance, at this demonstration at the CDC, you want the CDC on your side. And there are a lot of researchers there who are really working hard on the AIDS crisis, and who might feel you put them in a crazy position, because here they are, like, devoting their lives to doing research on AIDS, and now they're the victim. You know, they're the subject of a protest. No, I'm sorry, not they're the subject of a target. Thank you, thank you. So.
Well, I think that the best way to answer that is perhaps to look at the National Institutes of Health and the AIDS Clinical Trial Group system as opposed to CDC, where I think the situation is much clearer. That's where the basic research on treatments and preventatives or prophylaxis for the basic AIDS condition or the AIDS virus, HIV itself, as well as the opportunistic infections. That's where all that research is done. Now, ACT UP started 3 years ago. One of our first targets was the Food and Drug Administration. As a result of our activities, there are now a variety of drugs that are available, I think, as a direct result. There are also now trials being done in the AIDS Clinical Trial Group. We still have a great deal of work to do. But one of the things that's happened is that we, in fact, have begun to establish relationships with some of the people who are doing research in the AIDS Clinical Trial Group system. And some of those people are telling us, look, we know that this system is screwed up. We know it's rotten, but we risk our jobs if we point it out from inside. However, here's what's wrong, and would you please go and confront these people? That happens routinely.
So you think that there are a lot of people within the CDC and groups like that who are glad that you are putting the pressure on?
There are definitely researchers within the federal bureaucracy, both at the CDC and within the AIDS Clinical Trial Group system, who are fed up with the people who are running these organizations, who know that the people who are running these organizations in many cases are more interested in their own careers than in really helping people with AIDS, and who welcome our help in changing that situation.
Mm-hmm. Alden, a lot of the people in ACT UP have AIDS. And I wonder if some of them feel that time is running out, that problems need to be solved soon.
Well, that's and
I wonder if that motivates the kind of actions that ACT UP takes.
I think there's a certain sense in which that is true. Yes, we do know. I do know that I'm not going to live forever in the absence of an effective treatment for this virus that I'm carrying around. So I do know that I cannot wait forever. I cannot allow the medical and research bureaucracy of this country to go through its normal routine to eventually come up with a treatment. I have to be in their face because my life is on the line. Yes, that is true.
You recently had a bad experience in a hospital during a bout with pneumonia. Can you tell us what happened and if you think that that gets at any kind of typical problems that people with AIDS are facing now in New York?
Yeah,
or in other cities?
Unfortunately, it's all too typical. I went to the emergency room of what is supposed to be one of the best hospitals for treating AIDS in the country, and went into the emergency room with pneumonia, with a severe fever, barely able to walk, and I was stuck in a waiting room for over an hour. When I finally was seen, I was taken into what appeared to have been at one time some sort of utility closet, which was now converted into two emergency examination rooms, the two parts of the room separated from each other by a curtain, such that once I was put on the hospital bed, then another patient was taken in past me through the curtain to the other side of the curtain. Once I was diagnosed, I was put on a gurney in a hallway outside the emergency room. I was stuck on this gurney. There were about five positions that were marked off on the floor with masking tape with little paper signs stuck to the wall that said H1, H2, H3 through H5, H standing for hallway. So in other words, what was happening was the hospital is so overcrowded, the demands placed on the hospital system in New York City are so overwhelming the New York hospitals that hospitals are now resorting to calling a piece of ground in a hallway a hospital room, H1, H2. Now I was reasonably lucky that the HIV related pneumonia that I had was treatable, so I was given medication and I was able to leave the hospital. A friend of mine, Sal Licata, actually went to the same hospital the very next day and spent 3 days in one of these little spaces marked off on the floor in a hallway on a gurney, never got into a hospital room and died on that gurney. That's what's going on in New York. And, you know, I have to say to the rest of America, that's what's in New York now. That's what's going to be in your town in 3 or 4 years unless you push the federal bureaucracy to do something about AIDS and unless you begin to plan in your hospital systems to meet the needs of people with AIDS.
I know one of the criticisms I've heard about the way research is being handled for AIDS is that all the attention seems to be going toward the HIV virus and not enough attention going towards drugs that can treat the opportunistic infections that strike people who have HIV and who have no immune system left. I wonder what you think about that.
Well, it's absolutely true, and it's criminal. One of the things that we did when we had our action at the National Institutes of Health last May was that we took a look at the Institute of Health's own statistics on the AIDS clinical trial group system, and what we saw astounded us. What we saw was that about 80% of the people in clinical trials for AIDS-related drugs were in trials of a single drug called AZT. Now, that is a drug that fits very nicely into the career goals of people doing the research, because it's a drug that attacks the underlying virus causing AIDS in a very interesting way from a virological point of view. It inhibits the reproduction of reverse transcriptase. Now, if that were to work, it would be a real feather in the cap of the researchers. On the other hand, the drugs and prophylaxis for the opportunistic infections have a couple of things going against them. First of all, a smaller number of people are affected by each individual opportunistic infection, so therefore not as much money is going to be made on each drug that will be a treatment or preventative for the opportunistic infections. And the second thing is that generally they're not as fancy as a reverse transcriptase virus is. So therefore, one is less likely to win a medical prize or perhaps even a Nobel Prize, for working in those areas. Now, the result of those two things in combination, plus the fact that a lot of these researchers have long-standing relationships with the pharmaceutical companies, and the pharmaceutical companies are much more interested in drugs like AZT, which are very expensive and can generate profits because a lot more people will use them, the combination of all those factors leads to this situation where 80% of the people in trials are in trials of this one drug, leaving very little of the medical establishment's research resources to attack opportunistic infections, to look at other ways of attacking the HIV virus, or to look at ways of rebuilding the immune system.
I just want to get back to what you were talking about before with the hospital. Maybe I missed this, but was this a public hospital?
It was not a public hospital.
It was a private hospital,
right.
And it was still so overcrowded. And,
right.
And
yeah, and the public hospitals are even worse.
So what do you have any recourse if you get sick again? Would you go to a different hospital? Would you have anything in your power to do to try to get a better experience?
Well, frankly, I have had friends in all of the hospitals that treat AIDS patients in this city, and I can tell you that none of the others are any better. The situation is the same, and indeed even worse. The public hospitals are just frightening. They are so overcrowded as not to be believed. I mean, I recommend to anyone who wants a quick education in how rapidly the healthcare system in this city and in this country is falling apart, just wander into any emergency room of any hospital in New York. You'll see very quickly.
Tracy, let's get back to something we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
You're describing how AIDS is defined as a certain collection of symptoms, and women often have different symptoms
mm-hmm.
when they have AIDS. Can you describe for us what the official definition of AIDS is and how that leaves women out?
Okay, well, what's some of the official symptoms? Let's do a list. Pneumocystis, pneumonia, oral thrush. Let's see.
Oral thrush actually is a very good example of what you're talking about.
Right.
Because the same organism that causes oral thrush also causes a vaginal condition.
Right, a vaginal candidiasis. And when you have, oral thrush is, you look in someone's mouth and you see it's covered with a white yeast. Now, many women have yeast infections in early stages of HIV infection that are vaginal. Okay, but that's not considered a part of the definition. Now, I believe if you have thrush and you're HIV positive, you get an AIDS diagnosis. But if you're a woman and you're HIV positive and you have vaginal thrush, simply based on the location of your thrush, okay, you do not get an AIDS diagnosis. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you don't get an AIDS diagnosis, that means what else won't you get?
Well, if you don't get an AIDS diagnosis, you don't get a lot of the monies that are allocated by state and federal governments to help you out to live. We mentioned before supplemental security, which is, to give you extra money every month. Other things like access to free AIDS drugs. Other things like access to more extensive Medicaid, Medicare, et cetera. You don't have access to those kinds of benefits that people with AIDS and an AIDS diagnosis have access to.
Tracy, you work with a lot of poor women mm-hmm. through healthcare centers.
Right.
And I'm wondering what other problems you think women mm-hmm. in particular have who have AIDS.
Problems that women have. Women are poorer than men. That's a really huge problem. Women tend to be more reliant on public health care, on public hospitals, on Medicaid, on clinics. Women tend to have to not have private doctors. Women tend to have poor diets. Women tend to be taking care of other people. Women who are HIV positive, I think in New York City, have between 2 and 3 children. So women have a lot of other concerns. Wages for women are lower if women are working. And if you're HIV positive and female in this country and poor, it's a triple whammy.
Tracy, do you feel that we know as much about transmission heterosexually of AIDS or transmission from woman to woman of AIDS? Or do you think we know more about man to man transmission?
Well, I think that we know a fair amount about heterosexual transmission, and we know very little about woman-to-woman transmission. Everything is anecdotal when you talk about safe sex for lesbians.
Alden, I have a question for you. You're mm-hmm. on. You're on the committee of ACT UP, which is going by the acronym of PIST, People with Immune System Disorders.
That's correct.
What are the most pressing issues that you're talking about now in that group?
Well, I think that all the things that we've been addressing here today are very pressing. We have ACT UP as a group has just decided to do a couple of things over the next year and a half or so. We have just embarked on what we're calling an 18-month countdown. Actually, it'll be officially kicked off in another month and a half. An 18-month countdown to make all of the opportunistic infections treatable and or preventable. And that obviously is something that is of very great importance to people who are members of my caucus, people with immune system disorders. We are also starting a real campaign, actually joining up with other groups around the country to work for national health insurance, because one of the things that we see from our experience, and certainly this is true of people who are part of the PIST caucus, is that even if we get these drugs tested and approved and made available, a lot of people will not have access to them simply because they do not have health insurance. We need a system in this country such that when there is a treatment, somebody who is poor, unemployed, does not have insurance, will be able to have access to it.
Because you have a low
T-cell count?
Yeah, because you have a low T-cell count and immune system problems now, you probably really have to take care of yourself. And I'm wondering if you're worried about devoting too much time to ACT UP. I don't know if you probably have a job as well. I mean, do you feel like you have to prevent yourself from burning out on the politics of the issue to protect your own health?
Yeah, I worry about that to a certain extent. But I have to say that on the whole, I think my experience in ACT UP has been empowering. And other people who are in the same condition as I am, that is people who have compromised immune systems, say the same thing. And as I look at people who have survived with this disease for a long time, one of the things that I notice is that invariably they are people who are doing something about it. And it may not necessarily be that they're involved in ACT UP. They may be involved in other AIDS organizations. But they're doing something. And I think that perhaps that sense of empowerment, that sense of doing something, has something to do with why some people tend to live longer than others. Obviously, there's no way to show that scientifically. But I know that I personally have a strong sense of taking some measures that are going to influence my health. And that in itself, I think, does influence my health.
I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you.
My guests have been Tracy Morgan and Alden McCain. They're both members of the AIDS activist group ACT UP. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.